If you have a Bible, you might want to turn to John chapter 4, verse 14. There were several titles we could have been given to this. I noticed there was a couple given to me. And building blocks for life, that would have been a good one. How to build a life would have been a better one, as it fits in with what my thinking has been. But I know this, that real energy in your life to build a life, real energy comes from a strong inner life. It's the inner life that is the only important life. It's what's happening on the inside. That's the issue. John chapter 4 and verse 14. Those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give them will become, now catch this, in them, remember that, in them, a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. And I think it could be said that we may walk around with two Bibles under each arm, but it doesn't prove that we're godly. And I would say to you and to me this morning, pay attention to what is really welling up in your inner world. I'll say that again. Pay attention to what is really welling up in your inner man. What's happening on the inside? I think of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. That he may grant to you strength in your inner being. That's where it comes to, your inner being. And I would say that Paul's prayer should be our prayer as well. The powerful presence of the Holy Spirit should bring dramatic changes to our inner world. If you can be in the presence of the Lord and nothing changes, there's something wrong with your experience, because it's to be strengthened from within. And that's just a normative thing, this powerful presence of the Holy Spirit, where we say, Lord, just work in me, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Lord, have your way in me. No good thing dwelleth in me, Lord, but you could do something. I ask you to transform me. You pray that consistently, we'll hardly recognize you. We'll say, what growth has taken place in that person? That person seems so much more mature now, and so, you know, we're so encouraged. I can think of I will leave the names out, but, you know, you see a young person in the church, and their growth over the last few years, you're just phenomenal. And I know one thing, they've been in the presence of the Lord. They've been building up their inner man, and it's showing. They don't even know it's showing, but it's showing, and it's excellent. See, spiritual formation isn't a matter of outward change. It originates with change in our inner world. Not the outer world, but the inner world. Even the word educate has a root meaning, and here's what it means, to lead out from within, to lead out from within, and I know that to be true. So this is not about packing knowledge or information into our hearts and say, cram it in more all the time. It's not a matter of knowing things. You know, a lot of Christians know their Bible, and they would even say, I know my Bible, and they would argue. They would argue about Romans. They would argue about Ephesians. They would argue about Acts chapter 2. It'd just be a common thing, as if it's almost if that was what Christians do. We argue. But the issue is that you may be smarter than the rest of us. It could be. It's quite possible that you could be smarter than the rest of us. But that doesn't mean anything if there's not inward growth on the inner man. That's where it bursts within. And so I remember Bible school was particularly bad for this, where there'd almost be debating, and there'd be into the night there would be all kinds of discussions. You know, many of those never grew an inch. There was not this growth in godliness. They just were smart people who understood doctrine. Now, somebody, are you saying there's not a place for doctrine? Oh, no, there's a place for doctrine, but not in terms of growth in the inner man. And so we have this great opportunity to letting God transform us. And if you yield yourself to him If I yield myself to him, amazing things. I have full assurance that amazing things will happen. That you'll just be just changing. And it'll be beautiful and delightful in every way. It won't be how much you know. Because I hear people say, I don't know my Bible all that well. I mean, I'm learning it, but I don't know. That's all right. Just let the part that you do know transform you. Let that be the transforming thing. We'd rather have that than have you know everything, but not be transformed. How could it be that the person, oftentimes in a church, the knowledgeable person knows lots, but you can't live with them, and their wife can't live with them, and their husband can't live with them. And we say, what's it all about, Alfie? I mean, how do you figure this out? How could it be that someone who's been in the way, or maybe that's the right word for it, been on the way is maybe a better word, been on the way for 25 years and hasn't changed? See, that should just cause an uproar within me to say, oh, God, you must change me. I can't go on just, you know, knowing and accumulating more information and more information. There must be a transformation of the inner man. And so the Holy Spirit dwells in us so that our inner worlds will be transformed. And that's where it's sometimes painful. And I say, God, what are you trying to do? Kill me? Yes. There's a little too much of Owen here. I'm trying to kill you. And we find, oh, Lord, please just, put Owen to death. Well, maybe not just yet, Lord. Maybe we could talk about this. And I find myself crawling off the altar. And then finally I say, Lord, tie me to the altar so that I won't resist what you're doing in my heart. It ought to be measurable. I'd like to think that even though I'm a pastor, whatever that is, that my wife would see some transformation, that I would see transformation in her life. And this is just a great, great opportunity to grow. It's about growth. It's about going somewhere in God. And that this is, he never intended that we just would be saved and then it just stops, but there would be this amazing thing taking place. And he uses different things. He does. It's amazing how he does that. So we want our inner worlds transformed. I think of 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. It says that man looks on the outward. The Lord looks on the heart. So I may impress you or not. You may impress us or not. But that question is, God's looking at your heart. God's looking at my heart. And so a beautiful outward appearance may be an asset in some way. But what really matters is our inner world. Here again. You know, the Saul, that's what that text is taken from there. Saul was beautiful. I mean, he was handsome, strong, taller than everybody. And they said, this must be the one. No. And they said, no, that's not him. It's him over here. Interesting, isn't it? He said, the Lord, you're looking at the human part, and God's looking at the heart. And he'll always do that. He doesn't care how dedicated I am, but that I'm yielded to the Lord and that I'm open to his processes. Having this inner world changed, that just determines who we really are. To the degree that I've been able to yield myself and you've been able to yield yourself, say, Lord, just do that process within me. I know a fellow that got me actually doing it. Something would go wrong, right? And it's just a mess. And he says, well, GMT, GMT. And I, what's GMT? Great missionary training. I said, well, what else would God be doing? That was his take on what else would God be doing. He said, God's working in me, and this is just one of the further steps in my great, and I don't know whether he's going to be a missionary or not, but the point was, that's where it started. This is training, and God's at work, and he said, I want to yield to the Lord, not argue with the Lord about it. God looks beyond our human appearances. Some people are impressive, aren't they? I mean, they really are. They're impressive. And some people, they can fill a room. They can walk, I mean, just by walking in. Walk in a room, make a few comments, and the whole room's gathered around them, and they have a tremendous influence. It's just fantastic. It's just, you can't hardly believe how it works, but they just have that ability. There's men and women. They're just impressive people, but that's not the measurement, right? They may be fabulous. They may be talented. They may be impressive. All of those things might be an asset, but God looks beyond our human appearances, and he sees us through our disguises. Because what else would we be doing that for? We're kind of hiding, and instead of say, Lord, do that work in me. Let me go somewhere this year of my life. Let me journey with you. What would you want, God? What would you want? Because I want to be that, but I want to be completely altered. Or what's the point if we're not altered by God? So the Lord searches deep within our hearts. Many times there's a work going on in you, and maybe the rest of us maybe we're insensitive to it, perhaps even. Perhaps you were, one day, the time you were kneeling at the altar, and there was something going on in there, and we just let you pray on because we could see, shh, you know, God's at work here. Somebody else is going through something. We can see that God's doing something. And those precious moments, I've been, I think I told this story lots of times before, but one time I was at a Kettleson Gospel Camp, and a fellow by the name of Frank Kosick, well, Richard would know that he is a kind of a legend, and a Polish man that had eyes that could just, you start confessing stuff out of childhood. This guy was so amazing. And one night, I just felt led. The speaker just said, if you want to come and pray, come and pray. So I just felt, I kind of wander up to the front, and I knelt down, and I started to weep. I don't, to this day, don't know what it was all about, except that at 9 o'clock at night, the rest had gone for coffee, and I was still there. At 10 o'clock, I was still there. 11 o'clock, I was still there, just laying on, literally on the floor, just with my arms stretched out and just crying and praising. And then it's 11 o'clock and 12 o'clock, and then it was 1 o'clock, and all the lights go off. Hello? And, well, I guess you have some privacy now. And the next morning, this dear brother Kosick comes up to me. We're standing in the lineup going in for the food. He looks down at me and he says, he was a tall, imposing man. And he looked down at me, he says, I perceive, my friend, that you were under the spout where the glory runs out. And I said, yeah, I guess that's probably true, Brother Kosick. That's probably true. I have a word for you. Okay, we're in the lineup, right? What is the word? Stay there. You know, stay in the presence of God. Let God work in you. Don't rush out of things. Let it be a Holy Spirit moment. And so the Lord searches deep within our hearts to see who we really are, to see what we're made of. There's testings. Now, we don't have to say, well, I don't do very good with testing. None of us do. I don't want to be tested. I want to be left alone. I want to be blessed. I like blessings. But it's not through that often as that you see the real deeper work. But I think of Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. My little children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth, and listen to this, where this is going, until Christ is formed in you. That was Paul's great concern. That they would, he said, they would be in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. That's what God's doing. He's trying to conform me to the image of his son. He's absolutely bent on this. And Owen, you will not go to heaven the same way that you got saved. You will go to heaven. If I have anything to do with it, you will be in heaven transformed. And that's what I'm doing. I'm transforming you to Christ is formed in you. See, is the work done yet? No, not yet. Pretty got lots of proof about that. But I'm being transformed. You're being transformed. Christ formed in you. That your personality, your life, everything about you, boy, God is just saying, I'm so glad that we had this chat. Now, let me do the work in you. Don't squirm away from my work in you. Let yourself be changed. Yeah. Wow. So Christ is formed in you. What a journey. What a moment. Say, what's God up to? Well, I don't know what he's up to in the whole thing, but I know one thing. He's not content until Christ be formed in me completely. So there is Christ and Christ alone, not Christ and Owen, but Christ alone. Christ formed in you. Boy, I'm both scared and thankful. I'm thankful that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for that. And yet, I know there's other things. Every once in a while, I'm overwhelmed by my own self-centeredness. Oh my goodness, how immature could I be with some of my thinking? See, that's how little things come out like that. And you realize that, oh, I guess there's more work done. I was not exactly a spiritual person in that moment. But they deserved it. Until Christ be formed in you. You might want to underline that passage. Take it with you today. I think you'll get a lot of, I'm getting a lot of mileage out of it. And he said, and then by the way, that's how we pray for each other. That's how I pray for John. He would pray for me. That Owen would be transformed. And praying for each other. That you would be transformed. You'd be transformed. That's why we're still here. That's why the trumpet hasn't sounded, because there's the perfecting of the bride, isn't there not? There's something that he's perfecting. He likes what he sees, but he's not content with that. And so he gets us and he pins us down and he says, you know I love you. Yeah, I know you love me. I know you love me. I do know you love me. Then let me transform you until Christ, Owen, be formed in you. Then we can go to heaven. But there's work to be done, and it's done here. There's no work done in heaven. It doesn't have to be done there. Things are perfect there. But Christ must be formed in us. And he doesn't want to, adjust our outward appearance. He wants to go right to the core, and that these would be great moments for me in my life, great moments for you in your life. Maybe some of the best years you've ever had. You see, I've had so many issues this week. It's just so many things that, yeah. And boy, you should be just praising God. Just begin to praise God. God, thank you. Don't fight him on these things. Yield to him that the real you would be dealt with. Not just a surfacey. You see, the problem with even revivals is it's kind of a hoop and a holler and a tickle and a giggle. And, you know, a person laying on the floor and they maybe jump around, and I've been there, and I've done that. I have, but you get up, and you know you're 3,000 miles wide and about a half an inch deep. We need more than just some happy song. We need more than just silly experiences. We need the deep things, and I think I know this of you, that you are very much concerned about the deep things for your life, and it's okay to do crazy things in our circles. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just that it doesn't go deep enough. And we're asking for the deep work of the Holy Spirit. At least we should be if we're not. So Jesus transforms the inner character. And when we focus on outward appearances, we can't experience genuine transformation. So it's not the outward. Always the inward. Always the inward. I think of 1 Peter chapter 3. And verse 4, it's about women. It seemed safe at first when I read it. It's about ladies, so I must be exempt from this then. But 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, it talks about being ordained or adorned. The inner self. And he says, it's very precious in God's sight. What is? To have a gentle and quiet spirit is precious in the sight of the Lord. And I'm sure men can be, that applies to men as well, I'm sure. But it's, he likes that. That we adorn ourselves. And this, what comes out of it is not this raucous, demanding person, but someone who is yielding to God, and the inward is growing like crazy and the outward not as much, which is fine. I think that's fine. But I know in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, he said that the heart, yeah, the inner part of me, the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Can't trust it. It can be fickle. And so you have a deceitful heart. I wrote another statement. The heart is devious above all else. It's perverse. Who can understand it? Who can understand the deep things that are going on in your heart? You can't, unless you just yield to God and let him do the breaking and the smashing and the things that he does so well. But God is at work. Because, and we say, Lord, I can't trust myself. I've already seen how devious I can be. Haven't you seen yourself? Like I said, that was pretty manipulative of you, wasn't it? I have seen manipulation in me, self-centeredness. And somebody says, well, we're not perfect. Well, no, but we're going to be. We will be perfectly. When he's done, the work will be done, I'm sure. But the heart, deceitful above all things. Imagine that. Here we are, looking so good. I'm pretty impressive, actually. I have moments of being really impressive. Just the problem is they're very short-lived. And then the real me, and then I say something I shouldn't have said, something stupid. And I thought, well, I guess I've proved that, haven't I? But other moments, not so shabby. Actually, pretty good how I quoted that verse. Pretty good that sermon I preached. That wasn't so bad. I've had the guy I took it from. He seemed to enjoy it too. And you say, what's going on? Well, some deception in my own heart. I am a fool. I'm being deceived and not even knowing it. So I can't trust it because it seemed that I was, there was something good about it. And God says, there's nothing good about your heart. You need to be transformed. So it's, who can understand it? Only the Lord. The Lord knows and understands the heart. That's the answer to that. And then I think of Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Boy, this is, excuse me, so good. Keep your heart. Yeah, even if we stopped right there, this would be a feast. Keep your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart with everything within you. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the spring of life. Got to guard my heart. Got to guard what goes into it, what I'm picking up, how it's affecting me. Or maybe I had a teachableness here, and now over time, maybe I'm not as teachable. Maybe I think I know it all. And there's all things that they can creep in. So you have to guard it, that nothing comes in and steals from you or takes advantage of you, because we want the spring of life to flow through. I know you do. That's your heart's cry, I'm sure. So, I called this particular chapter, or my notes, is Christ the firm foundation. Christ the firm foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and verse 10 and verse 11. This is really amazing stuff. Listen carefully, or follow it if you can. Build on a firm foundation so it doesn't crumble. That's just some prelude. Build correctly rather than quickly. Build on the narrow road, not the wide road. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, he that hath begun a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Well, that's pretty good. No. Here's what he gets to the heart of it. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, Paul says, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. And so he chides them. He says, now, take care, if you're going to build on this foundation, he says, that I laid, take care how you build on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's Jesus Christ, the foundation. Yes, indeed. Now, verse 12, now if anyone builds on the foundation, and first of all, the precious stones. If anyone builds on the foundation with gold and silver and precious stones and wood, now it shifted. It was going from gold and silver, now it shifted to precious stones. Silver, precious stone, wood, hay, what kind of a foundation is this? Straw. Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it. The day will disclose it because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as one who passes through the fire. What's he getting at here? He says, we're all laying a foundation, but we want Christ to be the foundation, and him alone. And it's easy, apparently, to build on a foundation of hay, wood, and stubble. I wonder if you could have a whole life of hay, wood, and stubble. That it really, you built on the wrong thing, and it crumbled and became no more. The day coming, where all the work you've done, all the growth you've done, anything else in your heart, he said, there's going to be a fire. I call it the day of the fire, because that's what it will be. And the fire, see, this is the Bema. This is not the great white throne judgment of Revelation. This is the Bema. This is where Christians come, where believers come, who have been purchased by Jesus. That's the, and so this fire passes over my life. You're like, remember, it's not heaven and hell. That's not the text. It's rewards. It's being approved of God. And so the fire comes over the six things. The wood, hay, and stubble, and the silver and the gold. And whatever survives is the part that gets rewarded for. And so we have this up. So we say, well, see, in other words, I could maybe fool you. You can maybe fool somebody else, but no one's going to fool anybody that day. Because the fire will sweep over, and whatever you did in gratitude to Christ will be super abundantly rewarded. And anything that I did was in my own flesh, my own self-centered ways, it will be burned up. But not me. Not the believer. It will be saved, but only as one through fire. That's where we know it's not about it's not the Revelation judgment. That's another one for the world. So, I don't know how you view this, but to me, I know some people say, oh, I just hate those kind of passages. They just kind of scare me. It was actually not meant to scare you. It was meant to inspire you. Because the day will come when God will determine whether I said, this is really good what I'm doing. God said, I'll decide that. See if this thing burns. I'm sure that there are churches and individuals who have built their entire life and their entire ministry on something that's not going to last. See, we want the lasting stuff. I want that inner work in me to survive this fire And so therefore, we expose ourselves, Lord, we just want to build well. I even hope for our church. May we build well here, right? That's changed lives. Personalities come under the scrutiny of the Spirit of God. Wow, it's so good. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you. Isn't that a good thing? He said, you work it out as God works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Yes, God, whatever you want to do. And then I think of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 29. There's so many verses like this. And teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Jesus. That's what this is about. We gather on Sundays. We gather on midweek. And what is the purpose? That the exposure to each other, the bumping and the grinding, the shuffling, the changes, the people. You know, when I went to Bible school, I don't know why I knew it, but I knew I would get a different kind of a roommate. By my third year, I got my own and brought a wife with me. But the other two, I was at the mercy of the school. And of course, you know, I'd have to get the craziest guy in the whole world would be my roommate. But I knew that was going to happen. I knew intuitively that was going to happen. I just know those things. You know, because I said, oh, I'll get probably the guy that's smoking dope out behind. Yeah, sure enough. And the other guy, oh, you can't believe. What are they doing at Bible school? Maybe God said, what are you doing at Bible school? But I don't know that. But all I know is that he started off by telling me that he'd been saved 13 times. So I said, oh, no, I got a legalist here. I'm going to be trying to convert him now the rest of this. But it's kind of funny how that was. I thought, I just knew that it was going to be me. And I don't know whether the people in higher places said, no, let's put Owen together. This will be a good one. But it was, here's the thing, though. Yeah, it was the oddest person, perhaps, on the campus. I don't know. But I know that I was supposed to be there. And it just took patience. And, you know, you say, why couldn't I get somebody who just likes to read? You know, I don't know. I can't even describe how it was. But all I know, it was a transforming effect. And that's why these things happen. Why what's happening in your life is it's designed by God. These are designer moments. God's working in you. And you say, I got this person in my life, and I was supposed to get together with so-and-so. I don't even like them, and here I'm supposed to love them. Yeah. That's how it works. God puts us all together. You know, we couldn't have made this thing work if we tried. Just think of it. We're going to pick you and you and you and you and you. Okay, let's do church. And we find out, we just say, oh, I don't think this is going to work. We're too. So, see, we probably wouldn't all go for coffee together. Maybe you would never want to go for coffee with me. Say, do I have to go and have coffee with him? No, I don't think so. But it just shows you we're here together so that the transformation work can be done. He could have put you alone, or just you and Jesus, and your Bible. I say, oh, this is nice. Just Jesus and me. But it won't be that way because it doesn't get enough mileage out of it. So he puts some needy person beside you. Or maybe it's you that somebody comes beside. I don't know. I don't know how it works entirely. All I know is that down through my life, the growth that I had to do, that it happened the most, had to do with me getting out of myself and letting Christ do some really heavy-duty stuff. And I'm eternally grateful that he didn't say, oh, you're too much trouble. Why would I work in you? No, he loves me. And he's not content to leave me to my own devices or yours. He's in the transformation business. He's after the heart. He only cares about your heart. He doesn't care about any other part of you. just your heart, because he knows that if he gets my heart, then the work can go on. Presenting every man mature, every woman mature. Wow. Here it is. It's October, just about November. And I find there's little milestones that we have a chance just to pause and look around and say, I wonder how I'm doing. I remember seeing a T-shirt that said, on the front it said, how am I doing, Mom? And on the back side it says, try harder. But again, maybe I didn't have a mother like that. Maybe you did. But it was just, no, it's not a matter of trying harder. It's not trying to say, well, I've got to really press in here. No, this is a Holy Spirit thing. Let the Holy Spirit do the transforming. But what he wants from you and from me is he wants the presentation of my heart. So there's no fighting, there's no disagreeing. Say, Lord, you started a work in me, complete it. Let me be mature. Let me be mature in every way that people would hardly recognize me 5 years from now from my heart, and that we would hardly recognize you. We just see John. We say, John, just wonderful to see the growth in your life and the changes in your heart and just how spiritual you've become. Wow. See, that's what this is about, isn't it? This is what this is about. It's just making yourself available to the King of Kings. And when he comes, and when you feel his arms around you, it's going to be unbelievable. And so I don't want to waste it, do you? I don't want to waste this. I want to go for the gold. I want to be in the right place at the right time, because it's a good chance I won't otherwise, or I'll be avoiding something. I don't want that either. I know you don't want that either. So we present ourselves as living sacrifices, wholly acceptable to him. So reasonable service. And here's the, isn't this the wankiest, the craziest thing? And he will receive a reward. My job is to yield to the Lord. And he said, and you will be rewarded. See, that's why it's a place. It was never a place for punishment. It was always a place where the rewards were given out. If you yield your life to Jesus, and I mean really just say, God, here, take it all, whatever, do whatever you want with it. I just want to grow. You will be unbelievably rewarded for that. Can you figure that out? What do you get for doing that? All the rewards of heaven. Wow. That's, the rest will be burned up. The stuff that isn't the real stuff. If there's a fakiness about me, if there's something untrue about me, then I don't think, but see, it's the fire is important. And he burns it across that rock. And he says, oh, come here. You know that time when you yielded to me? That mattered. You know when you went and you shared Christ with somebody? That mattered. You know when you stayed up to study the word again because you wanted the word hidden in your heart? He says, that's happened. That's happened. That's why now he says, come here, I want to reward you. You got to love this stuff, right? What other faith in the world would say, here, give me your all, and then I'm going to give my all? And we are rewarded by Jesus. We are undeserving. See, this is, we are completely undeserving. There's nothing about us that, oh, good, I knew I was worthy of that. No, I wasn't. I'm just amazed that he would start working. And here I am fighting him instead of yielding to him. Good things happen when you yield. Just remember. And I know that whatever trial, whatever thing you're going through, you just watch. You'll look back on that and you'll laugh and you'll say, here, I was thinking it was a bad thing. He was working in me to do of his good pleasure. He was changing my heart. And here I was resisting him. How can that be? Well, it just shows how crazy the heart is. The heart is not, you can't trust it because it fools you and you think, enough said. So as I close, building blocks for life, or how to build a life, I know that if you build your life on Christ, that solid rock, and your heart is right, this will be a wonderful foundation. You keep building, keep building, keep building, keep building, keep building. Don't stop letting him do his work. Let's stand together if we can. I started off by saying to you, pay attention to what is really welling up in your inner world. I don't know about you, I just want to be that individual that the well of living water flows through all the time, that I could refresh the staff here, that they would refresh me, that we'd be together and just growing, welling up, stuff welling up. Something will well up for sure. I want it to be the right stuff. I'm going to look at my heart. What's welling up to eternal life? What does that mean? Because I want it to happen, and I know you want it to happen. So here we have this opportunity just to, I think just this morning, all we're going to do is just make ourselves, just for a few minutes, available. And even here, just you may want to close your eyes or just to be tender before him for a moment. Lord, there's been, I've given plenty of words, but now we pray for the deeper things. I thank you. Thank you for the plans you have. I pray, God, that nothing will be wasted. Let everything matter. Let everything count. I pray for every man and every woman under the sound of my voice. Lord, do that work. The one that touches the heart. Lord, may we present ourselves, knowing full way, we could hardly understand how this would come about for good, but if you could use us, then we say yes to you. But may we not waste it. Take us on a journey. Take me on a journey. Let this be a fruitful, extremely fruitful time. And let it be in each of the hearts of the dear congregation here that we're privileged to be a part of. Lord, oh God, thank you. Thank you for your invitation to be transformed. We want to be transformed. Lord, we want to be transformed. Oh, dear Lord, thank you for hearing our prayer. Thank you for the good things in November. And December, and January, and February, and March, and April, Lord, as we go into the spring. Thank you, God. May this just be say, wow, what a journey. What good things happened. Even in the midst of difficulties, wonderful things happened. So that's what we want, Lord. And we say amen to you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Thank you for your attendance of us here this morning. And I invite you to come to the coffee. And we'll continue the conversation on. I'll watch for a couple of you and we'll join together. If you have any questions, please feel free to answer them.